Blog Talk Radio.
That feels
it, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you. My.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Kids Corner. It is Tuesday. Oh, no, it's not Tuesday, kid. It's Saturday. I did that. We are here a little earlier than normal this time. Usually we're like 9 p.m. and we're talking about things of like many different things. Well, today we have a very special Kids Corner because we have an amazing, talented author who we are going to get to know a little bit personally. I know from her talents of her book that she's pretty dope, pretty awesome. If you're in the studio, if you click the link in the description, you can get this book by Black Pearl called Mini Road. It's really great. We're going to get her on here. I know she expressed to me that she was a little nervous, but there's no need to be nervous because, as you see, even I make mistakes. So we're going to get her on the line, and we are going to get down to the nitty gritty. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. So I guess the best way to start is to, for our listeners who don't know too much about you, you know, let them know who you are.
Well, I am a mother of four beautiful adult children that are self-sufficient, I might add, thank God. I am a grandmother of three beautiful little ones, and I am also a poet, spoken word artist, and I am a writer. I wear many hats, as you know, as any mother would, but those are the four basic components of who I am.
Okay. Well, you guys know, for our listeners out here, you guys know that we always do like a spring, summer, and fall poetry slam. So we're going to have to put her on our poetry slam so we can hear what these words is about. I love it. Yes, she's definitely mental note to yourself. Look for her when you put the show together. So where did you come up with the title for this book, Mini Roads? I found it very interesting, especially after reading the book. It was like, wow, okay, it fits.
Okay, well, it's basically based on the principle that we all come from many walks of life. You know, some good, some bad, some up, some down. But we all come from one place or another, and we're just all looking to fit in, to find our, you know, our heavenly place, you know, to have a great life, to do what's right. We're all looking for that, you know, that perfect thing, that good thing in our life. We're all looking for it. So it's just based on the fact that we all come from different walks of life. Everybody's different. And we're all basically in the search for the same thing, whatever our it is.
Okay. Now, Jazz was my favorite story. I liked her whole little situation. It was very, 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 she was one of my favorite people. Like, once I got into it, I was like, oh, I like this whole little, what she's got going on. Like, this is very, very dope. Who was your favorite character to write?
Well, I loved all of the characters because I personally fell in love with them all. But if I had to pick one, it would be Sean. And the reason that I say Sean is because he was the best and worst of every man that I have ever loved. So,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yes,
Sean was a handful.
Yes, he was.
He really was. Like, I was like, well, how many times? Like, what? You're so good, but you're so bad at the same time. And why?
And you know, I think that's every good girl loves a bad boy. It's just something about him, you know. So I had to make him. To really, really go into character development with him and, you know, bring him to life in a way that it would make the women just swoon over him.
Yeah, that was really, he was very interesting because it, just to see him evolve as a human being, you'd be like, this guy.
Yeah,
because I was reading it, I was like, "This guy, no, he need a whooping."
he was the epitome of, you know, of bad and good at the same
time.
Yes,
he was.
You know?
Like you could tell his heart was in the right place. He just didn't make the wisest decisions all the time.
No, and that's another thing we often don't. If you think about it, we often do not make. The best decisions all the time, because even when we try to do good, there's always something over our shoulder, you know, that makes us want to do other things.
You ain't never lied. You ain't never lied, because sometimes I just be like, you know what? I'm not in the mood for none of this.
Right, exactly.
So the whole back to train. Thank you. Okay. So how long have you been writing?
Well, I have been writing, to be honest, since I could put a pencil in my hand. Now, if you ask me when did the words start to make sense, I would say probably around the age of 15. When I first started writing short stories, and I thought I was a rapper, I started writing poetry, you know. It's just since then, you know, I've been writing ever since.
But see, the thing about being a writer is, and I think that sometimes, especially as African American writers, we always seem to somewhat pigeonhole ourselves into a certain demographic, like we have to tell the hood story, or we have to do this because this is what we know. And as a writer, I think a lot of us aren't afraid, or most seasoned of us are not afraid to step out of the box, out of the ghetto story, basically. I just didn't want to call it that. But
right.
you step out of that, and once you step out of that, you're like, oh, it's not that bad. But I think that for a lot of us as writers, we are afraid to take that risk.
I think you're right. I think that people do not want to venture away from the things that they know. I think it's a great thing when you can hone in on your art and write about things, you know, outside of what you've experienced and been through. But I also think that there's a credit to writing about things that, you know, that people may not be privy to, because everybody doesn't know about, you know, what goes on in the ghetto. Deeply, you know, what's deeply rooted in what goes on in that type of a, atmosphere. They don't talk about that, you know. They glorify the drug dealer and falling in love with a drug, you know, maybe a drug lord, or glorify the killing, or glorify the sexism, but they don't go deeper and talk about why this became the way that it was. You know, the backstories. And I think when we get the backstories and then we also get some form of a moral understanding, I think that that will help people to elevate.
And that's the thing, as a book reviewer, I try to stay away from the cliche, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
I
don't want to have to read how Keisha fell in love with the drug lord, and now they out here running amok and killing people for coke.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I can't do it. And a lot of people always be like, oh, well, kid, can you just review my book? And I'll be like, sure. What's it about?
Right.
Because
right.
if it sounds anything like what I don't want to read, and I'm an avid book reader, if it's something
mm-hmm.
I don't want to read, I'm not going to want to review it.
So, and I would understand why.
Yeah,
why.
But you'd be so surprised how many people get their feelings hurt. They'd be like, what? So it's just a Blog Talk Radio show. Like, I know it is, but I'm the one who has to read it, not the Blog Talk Radio show.
And then, too, just as, you know, people listen to you and they respect your opinion. And, you know, so these people are probably going to listen to your show and say, okay, well, he reviewed this book. If he gives it, you know, whatever number of stars, I'm going to check it out, you know. And so I know that you don't want to have to read something like that and then give them, you know, say that give your book 2 stars.
Right, and that's the thing. That's when I first started this. My business partner, who couldn't be in the studio with her right now, her name is Tisha. I always call her my twin. Me and her were sitting back and we were talking about this, and I was like, well, I want to be able to branch off into this and incorporate it into the radio show. And then she was like, yeah, but what if you get a bad book? And I was like, that's why I'm being picky. Because if I get a bad book, I'm going to have to give you an honest review. And if I give you your interview, and at the end of the interview, I'm like, oh, that book was like 1.5 stars, and it was okay. Like, nobody's going to be interested in wanting to go purchase this book because we did what we did. So, I mean, that's why I always try to keep it on the – up and up. I'm also nosy. Before I go read your book, I'll go read your reviews.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't know if you have to. If sometimes I think that it will help someone to get a bad review. You know, if you coddle them and you tell them people just keep telling them their work is good and it's full of errors and. You know, it's written in first person here and third person there, then, you know, definitely I can, you know, somebody needs to tell them because maybe they're sitting on being, you know, a top-notch author, being a world-renowned author, but they'll never get there because nobody will tell them the truth, you know.
This is true.
I'd rather have a hurtful lie than you know what I'm saying, a hurtful truth than an easy lie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing. So is this is Many Roads your first book?
Yes, Many Roads is my first book. I self published in November of 2015.
Okay. Well, we're going to take another commercial break, and we will be right back, and we can get into the other aspects of the Many Roads and how things all led back to what they led back to. We'll be right back.
The Lord. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
That was the wonderful and talented, always missed and adored Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
She was singing I Love the Lord, Death of the Preacher's Wife soundtrack. The intro was Smile, Franklin. I forgot to give y'all that. I got a little disheveled in a minute cause, in the beginning because the studio didn't want to act right. So we are talking to Miss Black Pearl. We are talking about her book called Many Roads. And you guys can go get it. You guys should go get it. All my listeners across the world. One thing I love about my radio station is that we have listeners all over the globe. So if you're listening to the show or when you listen to this show, hit the description, hit the link right there, and it will take you straight to her product page, and you can pick up her book to talk with her about other things. Like, I'm nosy. I want to know when her next book coming out. So considering the fact that the first book was so well, when is your next book coming out?
Well, I am currently writing now next book. And that next book, I anticipate that it will be out sometime in 2020. I know. I like to take my time with this.
I don't mind.
Let's admit, I wear many hats, so
yes.
My writing time is not what it used to be. As a former educator, I was able to, you know, be at home summers and, you know, have 2 and 3, 4 breaks during the year. And so since I've taken on another profession and moved on, you know, it's very difficult to find that time to really get into complete. But I'm working on it, and the next book is entitled The Man for Me. And it's a novel that pretty much encapsulates the female experience when you're dealing with relationships and you're in search for the one thing that we all just want, and that's love. So it's gonna talk about relationships and the things that women go through, the things that we put men through. It's gonna be some real and some raw material, just like Many Roads. So I look forward to getting that out to you guys.
I look forward to reading it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
I'm going to just be honest with you. Now, I'm going to just let you know now in 2019. Come find me when it come out in 2020 so we can. I like a good book, especially the one thing I will say about your book is that it did feel very real.
Yeah, it was.
Like the fact of the matter is sometimes when you're reading a fiction book, you be like, oh, this is really fake. Like, this is not,
yeah,
this doesn't happen in real life. But in when I was reading your book, I actually had to go back and read it again. Then the first time I read it, I was like, okay, this was a good book. But then I was going back because I had to get back into Sean real quick. So I was like, so let me just read the book over so I can pay attention to what was going on with him, because I got so caught up in Jazz that kind of nobody else mattered. So I had to go back and read it for the other characters, and when I read it the second time, I was like, this is really a really real book. Like, it's funny how everybody, because at the end of the day, what I got out of it, at some point everybody's life leads to religion. Like, a younger you is not going to think about being an usher on the usher board of church. But the older you is going to see that, you know, these all these roads, all these things that point in this direction can lead you to, you know, maybe a better blessing. So,
I get it. Yeah, I needed it to be real. So I did take elements of some stories and some people that I know. I took elements from my own life, you know, and I created these characters based off of real individuals and real happenings. And it's just important to know, you know, the reason why if the book began the way it did is because I needed people to see who they were in real time, who the adults that they were. Because oftentimes what happens is that people begin to judge you based off who, you know, they think you are. They never, ever take the opportunity to think about how you may have become who you have become, what circumstances extenuated, you know, what extenuated these circumstances? Why are you the person you are? You know, they just want to judge you right off the bat. They don't know what you went through or what the history of your praise is. You know, what you may have come through. They just want to judge you. So, I would say if there were any lessons to be learned, the first lesson would be about judgment. And you know, there are, you know, a few other aspects, you know, in the book. But like I said, I wanted it to be real. I wanted the people to understand the things that we go through. You know, we as human beings, we're sexual beings. You know, we want to feel good. We want to love. So I put that element in there. I put the element of bad versus good. Those are those things that we fight through every day, every single person. And if they say that they don't, they're telling the story. You know, I think the whole idea about a story or any book that you write, something has to come from it. Something has to come out of it. And so I just, you know, kind of push to make sure that everything that I write, and this is why I take my time, I want to make sure that everything that I write reaches somewhere in a person, that they feel it, that they smell it, that they feel like they're in the room. They can smell the perfume. They can hear the noises. I want them to be there in it because that whole experience will change a person's perception.
Yeah, I hear that. To all my aspiring authors who are listening, by the way, I hope you got a pen and paper. Take some notes. She's dropping some jewels right now. I know so many people who just drop books every Tuesday just because it's Tuesday. And I just be like, but you just put a book out last week.
I know. I understand. Trust me.
Who writes a book in the week is what I be really trying to figure out. Like, I know I'm a writer. Aside from being a graphic design artist, a business major, this, that, and the third, I also write books. So I know how time-consuming it can be to sit and try to write. Like, how are these people getting books done every Tuesday? And I can't even finish the book I started yet. Like, what do you mean?
My thing is, you know, it's not about the quantity of books that you have. It's about the quality. So if I never finish The Man for Me and all I ever get to have is Many Roads, I will have done myself, you know, a great service to just put out one book and it be something that people enjoy. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm very humble and I'm very grateful and thankful that people enjoy my work. But a lot goes into writing. And I don't think that you should be, you know, that it's a fly-by-night thing. You shouldn't just be putting out material, you know, that is poorly written, has no character building, no real premise behind the story. You know, it's a waste of time and it's a waste of people's time. You know, if this is your art and you're dedicated to it, then you should be reading books about how to better yourself as a writer. You should be doing research on that. You shouldn't just be, you know, you should write every day, and there's nothing wrong with writing every day, but don't put out things that are not up to par, because if, you know, 99% of the time, if you were to go to a very reputable publishing company and give them your material, they would throw it in the trash can if it, you know, if it doesn't meet a certain standard.
That's where a lot of self-publishing, I'm glad you said that, a lot of self-publishers miss that mark. Like, if you took this, like, I read this book, well, I didn't read this book. Somebody was going to make me read this book. That's called In Love with a Street King. And I didn't like the title, first of all. I was like, okay, this is one of those stories. Gotcha. And after reading, like, the synopsis of it, I was just like, if you guys really took this to a publishing agent, they'd laugh at you and tell you no. Like,
yeah,
these aren't the things that are going to get you. And everybody always be like, well, there's no room for urban fiction writers. No, there is room for urban fiction, and there's a huge calling for it, actually, with a lot of the big literary agencies. The problem is they don't want to read this garbage. So y'all just go on Amazon and privy yourself to be an author or a publisher and put your book out there, and now everybody wants to, you got to make everybody read it because it's the only way you're going to get your work out, and that's still not fair because you're making customers pay for something that's not even a finished product.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of those people tell me that they're authors and ask me to purchase their books, and I read the books, and just numerous grammatical errors, incorrect spelling of certain things, titles, just, you know, very poorly done, and, you know, and it does a disservice to those who are self-published and who are serious authors and don't have the backing that they need to really get the support that they want from the higher-end publishing companies. I think that, you know, people should just really hone in on the skills that it takes to produce the gift. You can't just go off hollering you're an author because you self-published something and it was very poorly done. So, you know, I hate to say it that way, but it's, you know, the truth is the truth. We have to, you know, if this is what you're going to do, you have to try to do your best. You have to give your best. You can't just put something out on the market and just assume that because you did it now makes you an author. It makes you a laughing stock, and people are reading this stuff and laughing, and only the people who are your friends are giving you good ratings. You know,
a very true statement. Like, that's a very true statement, and it's one of those things that as a book promoter you kind of go through in all the urban million thousand urban Facebook groups that there is, and you just be like, don't want to read that. Like, it makes my job hard because I like to read books, so I just like, I can't do with that one, can't do it. Okay, well, never mind. So that's why when you came to me and we were talking, and I was like, okay, well, let me see where her book is in the first before I just sign myself up for this, and then I'll be let down. And you're one of the first good books that I've actually read.
Wow, I'm honored. Thank you so much. You know, thank you so much. I'm so serious and I'm so humbled because you have no idea how many tears and prayers went into that book. You know, there were times I finished a chapter and I was just literally in tears, you know. There's times that I was in a point where I was at writer's block and I just prayed, like, you know, for God to just open the floodgates so I could finish because I knew it was a story that needed to be told. You know, we just, you know, it's sad because, you know, we just live in a society and in a world that, you know, so many people are being judged and mishandled. And it's causing people to turn away in great multitudes from the things that they need, like the church. And, you know, I just, you know, it's a sad thing. But, you know, I'm just hoping that, you know, the rawness of my book can reach, you know, the guttermost to the uttermost. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want the person from in the low down pit just be able to pick it up and get something, and I want somebody from, you know, the upper echelon of whatever to be able to pick it up and get something too, because it's, at the end of the day, it's all about unity. We can't go anywhere without each other.
We can't, but the thing about it is we are in a very self world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that I notice more and more every day. Like, I am very aware of how self this world is. Like, I just, David's like, oh, we'll just blame it on the president. No. He's only enhanced yourself. He's only enhanced your whole self attitude, but you've been self for a very long time.
Yeah, he just gave you a pass.
Yeah, he's giving you the floodgates to only care about yourself, but you've been that way for some time, and that's what people aren't really understanding, is that when it comes down to your craft, sometimes you can't just be about self. Like, I've written a book before, and I actually put it on Amazon, and because after I put it up, I didn't like the way it was formatted. I immediately, in 2 seconds, took it down. Nobody's about to associate me with this.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be mindful, and that's where we're not mindful of what needs to happen in the writing world. And that's really important because we don't care. So, last commercial break, we'll be right back. We're going to play a nice little game called Who's Your Favorite, and I will be right back.
Okay.
Temptations on every hand. Though Satan's tried to stop me and to place my feet on sinking sand, through the pain and all of my sorrow, through the tears and all of my because I've always obeyed. kept me when times were hard and rough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's kept me.
Jesus kept me.
I thought I could do it on my own, but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus kept me.
He kept me when I wanted to do wrong.
I can't even think, but yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite musical artist?
Ooh, that's going to be tough. But if I had, he's probably going to be considered an underdog, but I love Anthony Hamilton. I just love his voice.
Really? Yeah, everybody is an underdog. He really is an underdog. Nobody gives Anthony Hamilton the credit that he deserves. Nobody.
Right. Yeah, between him and Calvin Richardson, those are the two that I pick.
Yeah, okay. Okay, okay, okay. So you're real smooth with your music. Okay. That should give you a person's music says a lot about them. She's real laid back. Like, I do a music show, so I know that's what that's about.
Yeah, you're right. I'm laid back. I drink my wine. I chill.
Yeah. See, I got that off of your show. Off of you saying what your show was about.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, and we are going to. Okay, hold on. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color? Is it bad to have two? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Sorry about that.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. That was my mother-in-law's line.
That's
that was like, oh, I'm in the middle of the interview. She's like, oh, I'm sorry.
So you were asking my favorite color?
Yes, your favorite color, yes.
And my question is it bad to have two? Because
I have three.
Okay, so together, I have to have them together, pink and brown.
Okay.
I love those two together.
And if you could be anything in the world, what would you be?
If I could be anything in the world, what would I be? I would be wise. I would be the epitome of wisdom.
That is amazing.
Because, and I say that because with wisdom you can gain and acquire anything. So yeah, that's what I would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. If I could be anything in the world, I used to say the president until I got older and realized what his job was really about. And I was like, oh no, don't take me. I'd probably be a doctor. Like, if I could have been anything, and at one point in time I wanted to be a doctor, but the writing entrepreneurship life took over. So that kind of went out the window, and plus I realized you had to go to school for 500 years, and
no one wants to be chained to a book that long.
no one, and that was my biggest issue. I remember me and my mom were talking about it after, like, right after high school, and she was like, "You do know you're gonna be in school till you're like 40," and I was like, "Are you serious?" And she was like, "Yeah." She was like, "And you didn't barely make it through high school, but you don't like school to be in school till you're 40." And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, it is almost time to sing a little song and get out of here. I want to thank you, as always, for being here. You are an amazing guest, by the way. That nervous thing flew right out the window. You did a really good job.
Thank you so much. I was so happy to be a part, and thank you for inviting me.
No problem. And we will definitely, in 2020, when she releases her next book, she will be back, because I will be reading it, because she does a good job. And good job authors always stay in the back of my head. So I want to thank all my listeners. whether you're in the studio, chat, you listen to this later, thank you. As always, I will be back here tonight at 9 o'clock for the Quiet Storm. I got some music on the way for y'all later. We will be here tomorrow as well for Sunday school for Ladybug. And we are going to get up out of here.
All right.
All righty.
I don't know what to do.